God bless you. How you all doing? Take your Bibles and go to Revelation chapter 12, please. I'm going to share with you on the subject of the great red dragon tonight. The great red dragon. And in Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, verse familiar to many of us, it says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." Here in Revelation chapter 12, events past and future are recorded regarding the spiritual warfare that took place between the true God and the devil. The passage describes a vision which God gave to the Apostle John. The vision involves symbols, and it also involves words. And the symbols and the words are full of great truths. Their meaning can be recaptured by a diligent search of God's word. First and foremost, and always, in the written word of God. Secondarily, the word written in the stars. And parallel truths can be seen in both. This passage in Revelation 12 takes us on a profoundly significant dimension when it's examined in terms of astronomy. Revelation 12:1 says that there appeared a great wonder in heaven. The word wonder is a Greek word simeon. I showed you that word the other week. And in Greek literature, simeon is used of any kind of sign, but a notable usage is here in reference to the sign of the zodiac. This is a particularly interesting, understanding this truth in the context of Revelation 12. For the sign that had appeared is said to have appeared in heaven. And the sign spoken of in verse 1 is a sign of a woman. And not the only sign of the zodiac that we know of that could represent a woman is the description in the constellation Virgo. Revelation 12 further specifies that the woman was clothed with the sun. The sun is another celestial body. The sun, as it appears to travel through the ecliptic each year, enters into the mid-body between the neck and the knees of the constellation Virgo, clothing her with the sun for a 21-day period. Now, so this one astronomical detail shows us in John's vision that it narrows down to a 21-day period. And it could be a 21-day period in any given year. But in the year 3 BC, the sun was in this position from August 27th through September 15th. The woman in Revelation 12 was not only clothed with the sun, but the moon was under her feet, it says. With these two specific details, the sun and the moon found in the constellation Virgo, we can be very precise in our computation of time that in 3 BC, this configuration of the sun and the moon in Virgo only occurred on one day, and that day was September 11th. The configuration of the sun and the moon in the constellation Virgo was more observable in the Palestinian skies between sunset and moonset. This twilight period was called night. On September 11, 3 BC, sunset was at 6:18 p.m. and moonset was at 7:39 p.m. So based on the information given in Revelation 12, it was during this 81-minute period of time that the Lord Jesus Christ took his first breath and he became a living soul, even as Adam did in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, perhaps even at the beginning of the new day. The description given in Revelation 12, verse 1, exactly chronicles the astronomical occurrence of that evening on September 11th, 3 B.C. Verse 2 of Revelation 12 describes the woman as being in labor, ready to give birth. Verse 3 and verse 4 recount symbolically the adversary's fall from heaven and his plan to slay the child as soon as he was born. In verses 4 and verse 5, the woman's labor finishes and the child is brought forth. Verse 5 refers to the child's ascension to the throne of God. Clearly, from all of these specifics, the child can be none other than the Christ, the Messiah, the promised seed. If you'd like to learn more with regards to this particular segment of Scripture and study it in more in depth, you can go to Jesus Christ, our promised seed, and you can study the pages 68 through 74, and it's there where you'll find a lot of this information that I've shared with you. Going back to Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder." The word wonder there is also the Greek word simeon. "So there appeared another sign in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." Now, you know the story about the birth of Jesus and what hurry he had. I guess he had all the children killed from, 2 years and under. This is what this is talking about. Verse 5 says, "She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was called up unto God to his throne." That's, again, referring to the ascension. "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there for 1,260 days. And it was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast down into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night." Day and night. Verse 5 tells us that the child was called up to the throne of God. Acts chapter 2, verses 34 and 35 say, "For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, The Lord," speaking of God, "said unto my Lord," speaking of Christ, "Sit down on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool." You can find these references, if you want to take and check them yourselves, in Hebrews 1:13, Psalm 110:1, Matthew 22:44, Mark 10:37, and Mark 12:36. There you'll find all of these references to where the man-child, Jesus Christ, was called up to the throne of God, what we know as the ascension. Verse 6 of Revelation 12 says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. This woman who fled into the wilderness is still yet to happen. As I started, Revelation 12 contains events in the past, and that we're real familiar with. But it also contains events in the future that have not come to pass. The woman was spoken of as Jesus' mother in a previous verse because she was pregnant and was going to bring forth a man-child. The woman now is symbolic. It is not speaking of Jesus' mommy anymore. It's speaking of the nation of Israel. So now the woman, the word woman, represents the nation of Israel. You read it again. And the woman fled into the wilderness. Israel, the nation, these people that are spoken of here in the book of Revelation, fled into the wilderness where a place was prepared of God that they should feed her or these people 1,260 days. In verse 7, it says, and there was war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Verse 8 says, and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, what does that verse tell you? It tells you, just as we have been taught, that it is referenced to the devil. There's a reference to the devil's angels or demons or evil spirits there also. It says that he was cast out of heaven. And if you add verse 4 to it, you'll see that he took one-third of the angels with him. His tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven. Okay? Now that is true. And that is talking about the past. Just like the birth of Jesus Christ is true. And the woman travailed in labor and brought forth a man-child was talking about the past. Because that has already happened some 2,000 years ago. Okay? But we have more proof with regards to the devil being cast out, drawing a third of the angels with him, coming to earth. You can go to scriptures in Isaiah. You can go to scriptures in Ezekiel. You can go to scriptures throughout the Word of God. And you can verify those facts. However, that is not my undertaking at this time. I believe all of that. And I believe that we can corroborate it by comparing it with these verses. But what I like to do with you this evening is take you a little bit farther on these verses than you have ever been taught previously. In Revelation chapter 12, in verse 7, it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So you got two groups here. You got Michael and the angels that are on Michael's side. And you got the dragon, who is the devil, and the angels that are on the dragon's side. And you have a war, and the war is where? In heaven. That's what the scriptures teach. And lo and behold, in verse 8 it says, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in what? Heaven. Okay, so who lost the battle? The devil. Got it? Now, in verse 8, there's something peculiar as I was working this in this particular verse. And what I saw in verse 8 were the words, anymore. See? it says, there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. They were no, what's it say? Let me give you the King James again. It says, they prevailed not. There was no place found anymore in heaven. See those words, anymore? Okay. Those words, anymore, come from the Greek word eti. E-T-I. Eti. Now the word eti means of a thing which went on formerly, whereas now a different state of things exists or has begun. That's what those words anymore mean. Something that used to be, something that went on this way, this was the status quo, but now it exists no longer. Now, something has changed it. Okay? That's what that verse means. The New American Standard of Revelation 12:8 says this, and they were not strong enough, talking about Lucifer, the devil rather, and there was no longer a place found for them in what? You know what that means? That means up until Revelation chapter 12, verse 8, that there was a place in heaven where the adversary was able to occupy. That means there was a place or places, plural, in heaven where the adversary's demons were able to occupy. But when you get to Revelation 12, Revelation 6, 7, Revelation 12, verses 6, 7, 8, you find that in the future, in the day of the Lord, that there's going to come a time that there's going to be a war in heaven. And Michael and his angels are going to fight against the dragon and his angels. And Michael and his angels are going to kick butt. And they're going to kick the devil and his angels out of heaven. And there will be no more place for them in heaven. And you know where he calls, you know where he falls to? The earth. Not only does he fall to the earth, but he is confined to the earth. He's confined to the earth. You see, my understanding of this verse related to the past and the original overthrow where Satan rebelled against God. Actually, to be accurate, Lucifer rebelled against God and he got cast out. But see, that's only partially true, because Lucifer, in the beginning, in the original, where it says, and the earth became form and void, in the original, Lucifer and his demons were cast out of heaven. But he was cast out of his original position and his function in heaven. That's what he was cast out of. Isaiah chapter 14, the beginning of verse 12 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Son of the morning. Or as the Hebrew reads, day star. Son of the day star. Son of the morning, or son of day star, was a title Lucifer held at one time. However, when he rebelled against God in the beginning, he was stripped of this title and he was overthrown and his rebellion was cast down. He lost his authority, listen, and his position in heaven when he was cast out. However, he did not lose his access to heaven and he did not lose his access to the heavenlies. Look at Job chapter 1, verse 6. Job 1, 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Figurative usage, sons of God, talking about the angels. There was a day when the angels came to present themselves before the Lord. And what's the rest of the verse say? And Satan came also among them. Do you understand? Satan had access into heaven. Satan has access today into heaven, into the heavenlies. He has lost his position. He has lost his authority up there. And Adam gave him his position, and Adam gave him his authority down here. But he has access to heaven. And the Lord said unto Satan, verse 7, where are you coming from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, I'm going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. See, Satan can not only access the earth, but Satan can also access God. And I believe, and I'm pretty sure of this, and I'm pretty sure I can show it to you out of the scriptures, that Satan can actually access the throne room of God. The Lord said unto Satan, verse 8, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? See, here in these verses, you see that Satan still has access now. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In high places. Okay? The word high. See where it says high places? The word high in the text, Epouranos. Epouranos is the Greek. And that Greek word means existing in heaven. It means things that take place in heaven. The heavenly regions. Heaven itself, the abode of God and the angels. Most times when you see that Greek word in the New Testament, it's translated heavenly. 16 times, as a matter of fact. It's translated celestial 2 times, in heaven 1 time. It's only translated high once, and that's here in Ephesians. What does that verse tell you? That verse tells you that there are principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly realms. That's what it tells you. You know why they're in heavenly realms? Because they still have access to heaven. A ruling principality, if you study deliverance, okay? You know, a ruling principality, a ruling spirit is a spirit, an evil spirit that houses itself in the heavenlies over a section of geographic property. Okay? You can see in Daniel where Daniel prayed and Michael was dispatched, or Gabe's one of the angels were dispatched to go see Daniel, but it took him like 21 days, and he said, I was fighting with the prince of Persia in the heavenlies. See? That's why you'll see the manifestation of certain diseases, certain sicknesses, certain maladies, certain perversions in certain areas, because you have a ruling principality whose job is lust. For instance, Las Vegas. Okay, when you say Las Vegas, you all know what comes to your mind. But there's a reason for that, because there's a principality of lust that hovers over that geographical area. When you say Washington, when you say California, when you say Egypt or this. See, there's different principalities, and they house themselves in the heavens. They look down, and they orchestrate what goes on in those geographical areas around the world. Here we see that there's principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in heaven, in the heavenlies. The devil and his demons still have access to heaven. Look at Revelation chapter 12 again. Okay? But I want to tell you something. There's a day coming in the future. Okay? It's called the day of the Lord. It's the day of wrath. It's when God comes and sets things straight by his son, Jesus Christ. And in that day in the future, there's going to be a war. And there's going to be a war in heaven. And the devil and his angels are going to lose that war. And there's going to be no more place anymore for them. Well, things are going to change. And he's going to be cast out of heaven, and he's going to be thrown to the earth. And he's going to be confined to the earth. Revelation 12:7, then there was a war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven, a loud voice saying in heaven, now, now, now. What is now? Now is time. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and what? That's why I think Satan had access to God's throne room. Day and night, he was able to go in there. Why, I do not know. God put up with this. Why he allowed it, I do not know. He's God, I'm not. But the scripture says he was able to go in there and he was able to accuse us before our God day and night. Accuse the brethren. Now, day and night. In the future, there is a time coming in the day of the Lord that God will say, enough is enough. This is what God will say. Your time is up. And then God will look over to Michael and look over at Michael's angels and say, go to war. And the devil and his demons will not only be cast out of heaven and the throne room of God, but they will never have access to heaven again. As a matter of fact, when this happens in Revelation 12, the devil only has a few years left in his lifetime here on planet Earth. 3, and I'm being very generous, 4 at the maximum. Because it's midway through the tribulation, which lasts 7 years. Verse 11. And they overcame, talking about the people of Israel, and the Gentile nations that were left on Earth. During the revelation period, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Who dwells in the heavens? Well, at this particular period of time, the church, the 24 elders that surround the throne of God, the four beasts that surround the throne of God, that are in front of the throne of God, the seven spirits of God that are there located in verses 5, or chapters 5 and chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. It says, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. You know who's not dwelling in the heavens? Satan. You know who else is not dwelling in the heavens? His demons. Do you know why? Because there's no more room. Things have changed. There's a new sheriff in town. You know what his name is? Jesus Christ. Rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Look at it. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short, what?
Time.
He knows it. When God finally gives the order to kick his butt out of heaven, out of the throne, out of the heavenlies, and he is cast down and confined to the earth, the devil is really ticked off. You know why? Because he knows the end is near. He knows there's only a little bit of time left. Look at verse 13. And when the dragon saw, who's the dragon? The devil. When the dragon saw he was cast to earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the what? Who's he going after?
Israel.
He's going after Israel. Because he's where? On the earth. Only on the earth. Period. You understand? Only on the earth. And so you know what he's doing? He's really ticked off. And if someone's really ticked off at you and they can't get you, what are they going to do if you have kids? They're going to go after your children, right? That's right. So he goes after the woman. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she had nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Israel will look like there's no escape, this particular segment of them. But God has prepared a place for them. And it says that Israel, symbolic of the woman, will be given two wings like an eagle. They'll be able to get out of there. They'll be able to escape. And many biblical scholars and regular people like myself believe that Petra, the city of rock, is where Israel will go and be taken care of and fed and protected by God. Now on her way there, on their journey there, Israel, on their march there, it says the serpent, verse 15, cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. So the devil sees that Israel is escaping to this place prepared for them by God. And what he does is he gets a tremendous storm and a flood, whether it's a tsunami, I don't know what it is, but he gets a bunch of water and he causes this flood and he causes it to go after them, just like it was in Egypt, to swallow them up. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. There's an earthquake. There's a split. And right as that water is getting towards Israel, you know what happens? The earth opens up. And the water goes what? Down the drain. Down the drain. And the dragon was wrought, really upset. He's really mad now with the woman. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now he sees that he can't get these particular group of Israelites, these particular group of Jews, you understand? So he leaves off persecuting them, and you know what he goes to do? He goes to make war with the remnant of her what? The remnant of her seed are what? Other Jews. Other Jews that are still living, that are not there, that are other places. So he starts to hunt out the Jewish people. He lost his chance at this group. So now he gives an order to start to hunt and destroy the Jewish people. The remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's Revelation 12. Now look at Revelation 20. I'm going to show you why he's so ticked off, and I'm going to show you why he knows that his day is coming, that it's close, that there's just a little bit of time left. And then it's not talking thousands of years anymore. You understand? Like he has now. This is the end. We're coming to the climax. He's only got a few years left. Revelation 20. Well, a whole bunch of stuff happens. I'll teach it to you as we go out throughout the year between Revelation 12 and Revelation 20. But just to catch you up real quick. They gather together to destroy Israel, to destroy the nation, to wipe the face of Israel off the face of the earth. And this is in Jerusalem. So they gather together in a valley called Armageddon. All of the peoples of the world that hate the Jewish people gather there to destroy them once and for all. It says that the Lord Jesus Christ comes back on a horse. Okay? And this is what happens. He comes back to end the battle of Armageddon. Now, we misunderstood the battle of Armageddon for years. Because if you read the scriptures, this is what the scriptures teach about the battle of Armageddon. There's a great invitation made by an angel. And he says unto the birds, come and feast. Feast off of rich men, feast off of poor men, feast off of the generals, feast off of whatever, because the great God has prepared for you a great feast. And you're going to eat the flesh of rich and kings and generals and mighty and this and that. Okay? When Jesus Christ comes back, the Word of God says that Jesus Christ speaks, and the Word, the sword that's in His mouth, He speaks the Word. And when he's done and that word goes out of his mouth like a two-edged sword, it says, do you know what happens? Those millions and millions and millions of people, some estimate 200 million, die instantaneously, just like that. You don't fight. I don't fight. He comes back with the armies of heaven, and it says all he does is speak the word. And he destroys all of those people in the battle of Armageddon with just the word that he speaks. That's how powerful Jesus Christ is when he comes back to this earth. They are gathered there with every weapon known to man, with every demon that exists, with the devil himself, with the false prophet and the beast, which is the Antichrist. And all he has to do is show up, and the Bible says he opens his mouth, and out of his mouth goes a two-edged sword, and he destroys them. He destroys them, just like that. Then, after he does that, after he ends the battle of Armageddon, which isn't a battle, he just opens his mouth, and boom. You get the Revelation 20, verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the old dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years. Okay? He bound him for 1,000 years. Previously to this, they grab a hold of the Antichrist, which is known as the beast. They grab a hold of the prophet, which was the Antichrist's mouthpiece, and cause all the world to worship the Antichrist, and they throw them into the lake of fire. Okay? Then the angel comes down, and there's the devil. And the angel got a chain in his hand. And the devil knows this scripture. You understand? And the devil is in the corner, like a coward that he is, and he's shaking. And you know what the angel does? The angel comes up to him. He grabs him by his filthy, scrawny neck, and he squeezes it, and his eyeballs pop out. He says, you coming with me, boy. And drags him like this, and he lifts the lid and he throws them, binds them with a chain, throws them down there, seals it up. Guess where the devil is? Bound for 1,000 years. You understand? Then what happens? The millennial reign of Jesus Christ here on the earth. That's what happens. And we're part of that millennial reign. Look at verse 7. But he's just in prison for 1,000 years, okay? He can't come out, he can't do nothing. But at the end of 1,000 years, it says, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is at the sand of the sea. And he went up to the breadth of the earth and encompassed about the saints and the beloved city. And same thing happens, but the only difference now is that instead of Jesus Christ doing it, who does it? God. Do we fight? No. It says fire comes down from God out of heaven and what? Devours them. Devours them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and what? Forever. Forever and ever. You see, the great red dragon of Revelation 12 is just not something that prophesied and was a scripture that pointed to things that happened in the past with regards to the birth of Jesus Christ. It wasn't just something that pointed to the past that taught with regards to the original overthrow, where Satan rebelled against God and he was cast out. This scripture will have its full and total fulfillment one day in the future, in the book of Revelation, in what we know as the day of our Lord, the Lord's day. And when that time comes, God will give the order. He will say, enough is enough. I'm fed up with you up to here. That's it. He'll tell Michael, get rid of that SOB. And Michael will wage war. They will beat them like a dog. They will kick them out of heaven, and they will never allow to be in heaven again. They will never allow to be in the throne room of God again to accuse anybody. He's confined to the earth. And he is really, really freaking mad. And so he does. He's like a rabid dog at that point. He knows that his time is near. He knows what Revelation 20 teaches. He knows he's going to get grabbed by a scrawny little neck. He knows he's going to get caged like an animal with a chain around him. He knows that all of the things are going to burn up. And he's only got but a couple, 3, 4 years to do what he's got to do. And you want to know how stonati he is? He will still do what he has to do. Remember I read you those verses where there are men with this and boils and this and that, and it says, and yet they repented not or asked or were sorry to the God of heaven. Right to the very end, they're hardcore, and they're going to stay put with a hard heart, hardcore, and say, go ahead and kill me. I don't care. That's how stupid, that's how sinful, that's how hard men are going to be. And that's where they get it from. They get it from their father. They get it from their leader, the general that they follow, the devil. So Revelation 12 has a fulfillment in the past. It points to the past. But the great meaning of Revelation 12 is still yet to come. And it will cut off Satan's access to heaven, confine him here to earth, and ultimately usher in his demise. Amen? Amen? Then that's a good story. But it's not a story. That's the truth. So let's pray. Lord, thanks for a glimpse at what we have to look forward to. Thank you, Father, that he knows he has it to look forward to now. And yet we still fight against principalities and powers in heavenly places now, Father. But you have equipped us and given us strength, and you continue to protect us and guide us and provide for us. Thank you, Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ and for all that he's done, and oh my goodness, for all that he's going to do for us and for the nation of Israel. And he'll bring them all back to you one day, Father, the ones who believe. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.